The Icons of Real Estate Podcast. Are you ready to learn the proven money-making secrets from top-producing icon agents? Ready to skyrocket your business? This podcast is for you. Tune in every week and find out how to implement proven strategies to 10 times your business, from $3 million to $30 million in just 12 months. Brought to you by the Masters in Real Estate Marketing, Ardor SEO.
Welcome to the Icons of Real Estate Podcast. I'm your host, Ken Elbin, and today's guest is an Emerald Coast native with a love for food, travel, and above all else, red boots. She's no stranger to work, to hard work, and has put attention to work-life balance so that she is always ready to service her clients. A little coffee doesn't hurt either, I'm sure. All the way from Fort Walton Beach and the team lead for Red Team Florida, Victoria Davis. Victoria, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you so much for having me, Ken.
Awesome. So what I like to do anytime I have an icon of real estate like you on the show is pass the floor over to you to start off with, because you've got a story to tell. You've got a journey that you've been in up until now in real estate. So take us on that journey.
Okay. So just what I've been through in real estate or just my life in general?
Well, I mean, anything that you think has made up why you're where you are right now in real estate.
Okay. Well, that's great. So I would say that I definitely never dreamed of being a real estate agent. It wasn't what I wanted to be when I grew up. In fact, I wanted to be a pediatrician because I wanted to help babies. So if you, I have a heart to help, which is probably how I fell into real estate, but that is definitely not the path that I originally had in mind. So I guess my very first experience with real estate would be purchasing my own house. I bought a house in 2006. I was 18 years old and I had a pulse. Wow. So they gave me a loan. Unfortunately, it wasn't a great loan. And there was my husband and I. And, we were kind of one of those people that were part of the financial, the housing crash in 2008. I learned a lot from that experience. And I learned a lot of how, my realtor really didn't help me. She did not guide me. I had realtors, inspectors, lenders, and they were just kind of pushing me through the process, not educating me at all. I was 18 years old. I probably needed a little bit more help than what I was.
Of course, definitely.
And so at one point we ended up in foreclosure. I was able to save the house, which is nice, through lots of grit and moxie. Like, don't give up. And I wanted to keep that house. I felt like it was my house. And so I was able to find my way out of it. We actually still own it. It's one of our best investments. Awesome. Even though it didn't look like it for a few years there. Coming out on the other side of that, I just realized, if I was ever to purchase a house again, I wanted to become a lot more educated on what I was doing. So fast forward a few years, I was a student. My husband is a blue collar worker. So when I met him, he did flooring, stone, tile showers. We live in a very, we have a luxury homes. He was kind of one of the go-to guys to do some of the very nice showers and stonework. All kinds of great stuff. So if you stay in some of the nicer places out there, he might have done the shower, to be honest. So
he was your inside man.
He was really. And really, my path into real estate was more through that, through the construction side. There's always this dream to be flippers and to make, millions of dollars flipping houses, turning the worst house into the best house in the street. And really that's how we initially started. I had a family investor that believed in us enough to help us with our first flip. And I wasn't an agent at the time, but we've still learned a lot through the process, the buying and the selling. I had somebody that I knew and was a little bit more helpful along the way. And so we, made a little bit of money on that house and then just continued to grow in flipping. At the same time, I was moving out of the career that I had, which was as a wedding planner. We have beautiful beaches here. We have beach weddings constantly.
Yeah.
It's a great industry. But it's also nights and weekends when my husband worked days. And so it was very difficult on us. And I was pregnant with our third daughter. And I started working for a builder, one that my husband also contracted with. And he did not have a sales manager. He had nobody that really managed his sales. So two things at once. One, we were flipping houses, buying, selling. You know, at some point it makes sense for me to buy a license. And at the same time, I had a builder that is looking for somebody to manage all of his sales. Find me land. So let's build houses. Let's sell specs. And one factor that was the same in them was that I needed a real estate license. So why not go and get one? And
of course,
the reason I primarily got it was to help with working with the builder and then working our own deals. But eventually I found out that I just like traditional real estate too. I loved helping first-time home buyers. I loved educating them. I learned from my experience and how horrible it was and how unknowledgeable I was in that process. And I, you know, kind of put together almost like, it's not really a course. I should probably eventually turn it into a course, but I do go through all the stages, what things mean, and educate people on the process top to bottom. I work with first-time home buyers and I work with first-time investors a lot. That's how I got to where I am.
And that's a really awesome story. I love how so often, especially nowadays, especially post-COVID, with people who are doing really well at real estate, they've almost taken their origin stories of, which is 99% of the time a bad experience, and they've used that to model themselves into the realtor they wish they had when they first had a really tough transaction.
Right. Awesome. Exactly. You learn from other people's mistakes. I mean, and your own mistakes 100%. Too. I should have been more educated before I bought a house, to be honest.
Well, you know what? I mean, if someone had offered me at 18 the opportunity to buy a house, and they said they would give me the money, I probably would have made the same decision as you did. Is it still the case in your market?
To buy a house?
Cheaper than renting.
Right now, just because of the higher interest rates, I would say it's pretty even, maybe a touch more to buy. I still personally feel like it's the better option.
If it's that close, it's going to be the better option. But you mentioned something a little earlier that for many of us is as elusive as a Loch Ness monster, and for myself it's about as scary, and that's work-life balance. How are you getting that right?
So I take the motto that I take the hard right, or in other words, the hard good choice. And I will say this, you know, let me start with this. I set hours that I work. I prioritize certain things. So I've been married 17 years. We've been together 18 years, and we have four daughters from ages 2, 7, 9, and 13-year-old. So there's a lot going on in our life, and they're, in my opinion, my children are in their very formative years. And I feel like this is the time for me to be a mom for them. I set very specific dates with my kids and with my husband. So I have four kids, four weeks in a month. I have lunch with a child every single week, once a week. That's every week for me, but it's once a month for them. And so I make sure that I take them lunch at their school, see with them. It's their time. In addition, I make holidays very big in our house. So we celebrate kind of even the obscure holidays, like Pi Day is a huge thing in our house.
Sounds great.
Today's actually Cinco de Mayo, the day that we're recording. We've made piñatas, we're doing taco bars, we're making corn husk dolls. What I try to do is make every single holiday a special weekend. And birthdays. Birthdays are a huge deal in our house. As I said before, I was a wedding planner, and so I will throw a full event every time we have a birthday party. So, and then with my husband, we have date nights that I hired a special sitter to come in. We have a nanny, just to be honest, we have to have a nanny. But I have a special person that comes in just for us to have date nights. We're also working on trying to get away more often. That's a little bit harder. We're trying to set a time, you know, specific holidays for us to go away and do things. But I'll say the reason that those are the hard right choices, the hard difficult choices, the hard correct choices, is because I know that I am not progressing in my career as fast as some of my peers are. And it's very frustrating, right? I see it. I see people that started before me or I'm sorry, after me or the same time as me, really being able to exceed or excel at an exponentially faster rate. And I think all agents are all small business owners. We struggle with that, right? Like, cause it's the FOMO. I'm not doing as well as my, you know, this person, I'm not doing as well, but I have, and as a very ambitious person, that is difficult for me to reconcile with, but I have to constantly remind myself that this is the better choice. Nobody's on their deathbed wishing that they did 10 more transactions a year.
Of course.
So absolutely. People are on their deathbed wishing they spent more time with their kids.
I have to imagine there's two, and I mean, just to sort of sum up what you've said, I think what you're essentially drilling it down to is set priorities and be regimental about those, no matter how difficult it gets. Like that is, and celebrate the small victories. You know, like you're celebrating Cinco de Mayo. That's great. What's your favorite holiday that you and your family make a big thing out of that most people wouldn't even know it's a thing? Or your favorite day?
Oh, let's see. Oh, that's a great question and kind of difficult. Because we do so much. I mean, I honestly think the most obscure one that we do is Pi Day, you know, March 14th, because
damn,
I mean 3.14, and I mean we make pizza pies, we bake pies, we you know, we have like circle themes, we like it's big. But awesome. I honestly can't think of a holiday that we don't celebrate. We do things for Memorial Day, we do things for the 4th of July. It's huge. We spend a whole month on Halloween, 6 weeks on Thanksgiving, or 6 weeks on Christmas. I mean, it's just, the thing is, it takes a lot of planning, but I think as small business owners, we have to be disciplined in our planning. We can't, like, that is, if I were to say anything, you know, that has helped me be successful in my work-life balance. It is because I've become disciplined in what I do for work, and then what I set aside time to do for home life. And then I also just don't beat myself up if it's not perfect, because I can promise you the idea that I have for Pi Day or Cinco de Mayo or whatever, you know, Christmas, Thanksgiving, maybe it doesn't come out perfect, but I just have to enjoy what I was able to do because things come out.
How can a whole day dedicated to enjoying pie ever turn out badly?
Well, so, we didn't get to make the pie crust from scratch, you know. I didn't get to do that yet with them, but you know, I also have a 2-year-old, and she would probably destroy the
as they get older, they'll be more competent. You'll have more sous chefs. It'll be fun.
Exactly. I was just one side note, because we do cookie decorating every year for Christmas, and it's very fun to see, like, their first year, all of the, you know, they're about 2 when they start, and they're all just black cookies because they put all the icing and all the sprinkles on it. And now, like, my 13-year-old, I swear her stuff could be on Pinterest. It's so perfect because she's got so many years of practice doing it.
Nice. Well, I know you've got a few other little side ventures. I don't know if we'll have time to chat about them, but I mean, I'm just planting the seed. Maybe down the line, that's something that you could do, a little Pinterest page for the cookie decorator.
Right? Why not? Exactly.
So I was looking at your team a little earlier, and I noticed you've got a full roster of powerhouse women. Is that something that was intentional, or was that just sort of happened?
Yeah, absolutely. It's intentional. So I spent many of my early years having to be a working mom, and it was very difficult to find people that were okay with my beliefs. My beliefs are, if a woman or husband, man or woman, whoever it is, wants to work with their kid with them at home, or, you know, not necessarily put them into daycare. Again, no issue with daycare. My youngest goes to daycare, but she needs that social aspect. But if they choose to keep them at home, they should be able to. And I wanted a workplace that was okay with that. Flex hours, because I work hard. I'll work hard 24 hours a day, but, you know, at 2 o'clock, I may need to lay down with the baby and put her to sleep, right? Like, but, and that's okay to me. And so I wanted to work with women and give them an opportunity to have that balance and to work around the schedule that they wanted to create for themselves. Why would I be in business? Why do I spend all of this time, energy, and effort working for myself if I can't set my own schedule? And I think that unfortunately, it's hard to break that 9-to-5 mindset or for a lot of people. And I wanted to bring people, women in, men too. I mean, they can come join as well, but it's usually just happens to be women that feel that obligation, that motherly instinct to, raise their children. Why would I not help them break through the barriers that I've broken through? Mostly because I just couldn't stop having children. Clearly I had four kids over a decade.
Oh gosh, man, that's gotta be the funniest thing I've heard on the show in a while. Yeah. So, I mean, I can see you've got some nice targets for yourself this year. How are you and the team? Let me actually dial that back. How are you and the team normally marketing yourselves, and how are you generating that business?
So I am a sphere of influence believer. That is my go-to. I believe that you know somebody that's buying or selling real estate. And if you can prove to your people that you know what you're talking about when it comes to real estate, that you're educated, that you know your market very well, you will win over business. Win over business that maybe, you know, they even worked with other agents before in the past. Because I will say this, if you can get somebody to endorse you, you've already broken the first barrier, which is,
of course,
right? So-and-so believes in me, then I know that, if I get a referral from somebody, you know, I've already, they're like, well, I can trust you because I trust this person that referred you over. So then at that point, in correlation to that, you know, I feel an obligation to uphold that referral, right? So this Absolutely. Person believes in me, I better do a really good job once I, you know, I'm working with this person. And so I think it works both ways because, you know, one, you're getting people to refer you. And then two, once you have them, you know, you feel obligated to do your best because for somebody that you trust and you care about. So that's mainly at sphere of influence. So, I love doing videos to help educational videos. I say I love to do them. Am I the best at doing them? Not necessarily, but and I have a vision. I have a vision for creating the educational videos because I once had a coach tell me, what do you spend a lot of time doing? Well, I spend a lot of time explaining to my first-time home buyers and my first-time investors the same principles over and over. And he's like, well, can you not just systemize that? I'm like, that would actually be a really great idea to systemize that. And then turn that into almost like, a video series that people can watch and learn that maybe won't have a chance to sit with me face-to-face and have these conversations, but through the power of video and internet, we can have these kind of conversations.
I think that's the space that's been opened up since COVID is the way that all of us are thinking about how we can engage with others is just expanded. You know, we all got put in our homes for months at a time and realize that we can actually reach out to more people than we ever thought. So right. I'm gonna hold you to that. I've made a note down here. I'm gonna check in with you at some stage and ask you where those videos are.
Perfect. Very good.
What big can we expect from the Red Team this year?
In addition to working with our sphere, I am really pursuing a lot of larger development opportunities. The county next to us is one of the fastest growing counties in the country. So we have a great opportunity for development there. And as I mentioned before, one of my first clients was a builder and he's turned into a developer. We've actually grown together in our industry. And so I love that opportunity to, you know, create homes for people. Attainable housing is really where it's at for me.
That's fantastic. So someone happens to be in your area tomorrow and in Florida, they're looking to get in touch with you. How do they do that?
Honestly, still the best way is to give me a call. I'm old school like that. I love picking up my phone and talking to people. Maybe that makes me weird, but I do love that. So calling me, can I give my number?
Of course.
Oh, okay. So calling me on my phone. My direct line, 850-699-1293. Or you can look me up on Facebook if you want, the Red Team Florida. And I do have Instagram and TikTok. You'll find more personal stuff there though. So I don't know if you want to, I mean, you can, it's funny.
You get good ideas for holidays you could celebrate. You didn't even know existed. Love it.
Exactly.
Awesome. Well, I think it goes without saying, I've really enjoyed having you on the show, and especially considering you're looking at doing bigger and better things. I hope that I can convince you at some stage down the line to come back and give us an update.
I would love it.
Awesome. So from myself, Ken Elvin at Icons of Real Estate Podcast, and Victoria Davis over at the Red Team Florida, thanks for tuning in, and we'll catch you next time.